So this morning's message is entitled Thrust into Sacrifice. So, and it's not a nice topic, hey? Because who likes to sacrifice is the heading up. Who likes to sacrifice? Nobody likes to sacrifice. Who of you love to sacrifice? To give up things? No one. All right. So the title is Thrust into Sacrifice. So have you guys watched these guys that are rock climbers? Have you watched rock climbers? Do we have a few here? Okay, so I can be quite straightforward and tell them what I think of their sport. They're not going to be offended by me. All right, so when I look at rock climbers, who of you are rock climbers? Please stand, raise your hands. I have a lot of respect for you. Really, I do. No rock climbers. Are they shy? Are you rock climbers? Yes, I'm amazed. Like Kloter, tiene die tipe stories. Okay. So when I look at them, I think either they are brave and I am a coward, which probably is the case, or they're just mad. So I don't, they have to decide themselves if they are brave or just mad. So they go ahead and they do things that I think the majority of us think is crazy. Now, who of you would agree with me that Christ was very brave? Nobody can compare to Christ's bravery. So this, I came across this very interesting story in the book of John. And it's in John 18. Don't put it up yet, hey. What's your name, ma'am? I can't hear. Suane, a very easy name. Okay, so Suane, don't put it up yet. So I came across this very interesting story of Jesus Christ. Where he's on the Mount of Olives. And the Pharisees had sent the temple guards to go and arrest him. And Judas was with them. And in this story, it doesn't speak of Judas kissing him. But they come to arrest Christ and they don't recognize him. And that is not logical to me. And I'll tell you now why. So they don't recognize him. And even after he says, I am Jesus Christ, they ask him a second time, who is Jesus Christ? Does that make sense to you? Is there logic to that? So even after he acknowledges who he was, they don't click who he is. So let's read that piece. Now you can put it up, Suane. Is it right? Suane. Jesus fully realized, okay, you have a different version, it's fine. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. So he stepped forward, this is now they're approaching him, the temple guards with Judas. So he stepped forward to meet them and he says to them, who are you looking for? He asked. They say, Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. And he says, I am he, Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with him. As Jesus said, I am he, they all drew back and fell to the ground. Why would you say that happened? By him confessing that he is God. Yes, what did you want to say, Bobby? Go for it. I am he. And they all fall back. They all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more, he asked them. He sees they're still not with it. They don't recognize him. Once more, he asked them, who are you looking for? And again, they replied, Jesus. So they don't say, no, we're looking for you. He's just told them, I am he. So he asked them, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus of Nazarene. Duh. Hey. He's just told them, I am he. So they don't say, you, we're looking for you. They say again, we're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. And he said, I told you that I am he. And since I am the one you want, let the others go. Do you think that Christ was an unknown person in Jerusalem when they came to arrest him? Who would say nobody had heard of him? Come on, you know scripture to a certain extent. Speak to me. Was Christ unknown? Come on, man. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He was the most popular person in Israel. The most controversial, yes. But he was the most, everybody knew who Christ was. So why don't you recognize him? Where's the logic in that? Signs and wonders were flowing. He taught powerful messages. The Sermon on the Mount, the teachings, the parables. He was well known. But despite the miracles and signs that Jesus had done, many people still did not believe in him. John 12 verses 37. Suane. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, many, they still did not believe in him. So I think, and I'm convinced actually, that Christ purposefully blinded them. Why do you think he would want to blind them from not recognizing him? Anyone? And it's amazing when they came, the deity was there. That's why when he said, I am he, they fell backwards and they didn't recognize him. God was in control. God was in control. So I think Christ purposefully blinded them to show and demonstrate they could not arrest him with human ability. But he very willingly was a lamb himself going to the slaughter. He controlled that environment. It was not man that decided to arrest him. It was not flesh. It was God. And that's why the title is, he thrust himself to sacrifice. He ran to it. He didn't begrudgingly, and we know the time and at the mountain when he was praying and he sweated blood, he said, Father, and that was a private moment. If this beaker can pass me by, let it pass me by, but not my will, your will be done. But yeah, there's no doubt. There's no wonder. There's, I am in charge of this death. I give up my life willingly. Nobody takes it from me. I give it. And I'm not only giving it, I thrust it into your hands to kill me. Because I know for the joy set before me, I will suffer the cross. For the resurrection life that will spring up in every believer that believes in me, I will allow myself to die and I will run with all of my might and my strength to embrace my death and give up my life. Because I know there's life, powerful, unequivocal, unquenchable life after my death. Guys, he blinded their recognizing of him. He blinded their perception. He was thrusting himself into their hands, not flinching, but boldly having to show them and tell them twice who he was. He clearly shows us that he directs the whole process and actually he makes it happen. I believe that had he not said, I am he, twice, they would never have arrested him. Because the power of God was there. They were blind. He had to, literally, they were blind guides coming to arrest him. He literally had to take their hands and says, here's my collar, take me now. I'm the one. They were totally blind. Because he had to tell them twice. And then he opened up their eyes. Now there's another instance where these temple guards, in John 7 verses 45 to 7. And this is which even makes the story even more valid. And I would believe my explanation more valid is. A previous time when the temple guards also wanted to arrest him. When the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus. The leading priests and Pharisees demanded, why didn't you bring him in? We, and they say, we have never heard anyone speak like this. The gods responded, "Have you been led astray too?" The Pharisees mocked. Can you see the illogical? They don't know who he is, but they try to arrest him. They went to go listen to his teaching. But when they must go arrest him a second time, they don't know who he is. There's no logic to it. Because God blinded them. The power of God was so strong, they didn't recognize him. And even if it were not the same temple gods, do you think you come back to the Pharisees, you've not followed an instruction? The Pharisees, your boss tells you, go and arrest that man. You come back, you haven't arrested him. You say, we can't arrest him. His words have got such power. Do you think you would have kept it to yourself as a temple god? Or would you have told your other buddy temple gods? Would you have told them? Do you think the other temple gods would have heard about the most popular man in Jerusalem? Healings, miracles, signs and wonders, teachings. There's no logic. They don't recognize him. But yet they did not recognize him because God was in control of his own sacrifice. And it was tough, but he embraced it with all of his heart and all of his mind. He was not second guessing himself. He wasn't doubting. He ran to it and he said, I will be in charge of my own death. There's another example of this, where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And he comes to Peter, and that's the worst kind of job to be done, even today. Who thinks you can do something more lowly than wash someone's feet? Maybe a care worker in the UK. Oh, thank you. Do I need it? Not now. So, maybe a care worker in the UK, because they must wash you and do everything. But can any of you think of anything more menial, more low than wash someone else's feet? And it's not feet that are in socks and shoes. These are feet that are in sandals that are full of dust and sweat. That's pretty much down there as a servant. All right. So he's busy washing the feet of his disciples as an example of servanthood. And he comes to Peter, and Peter says, you can't wash my feet. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. You can't never do that. And Christ says, unless you allow me to wash your feet, you can have no part with me. You can have nothing to do with me. And what does Peter say? God, dan moet jy sommer alles was. Was sommer alles. My kop, my hande, my voete, my alles. And this is a Mandy and a Mac and a bikkie van a Nodine and a bikkie van a Stefan persoonlikheid daai. Ons praat baie keer voordat ons dink. Nee, let's own it, hey? We sometimes talk before we think. Oh yes, Kyle, we mustn't forget. I think he's the best example of that. So, but it shows passion. It shows passion. And Peter says, I thrust all that I am into your hands, Christ. All that I am. All my thoughts, all my heart, all my desires, all my fears, all my ambitions, I give to you. And that's a message for another day, which I preached at another church. But we need to come to a place where we say, Christ, have all of me. Because there are some parts in our lives that are hidden away from God, that we keep in a little secret chamber. And God says, no. Be like Peter. Say, Lord, take all of me. Wash all of me. Have all of me. But this morning we're looking at Christ's response. Christ's thrusts. So Christ literally and obviously thrusts himself to endure the cross for the joy set before him. So now, how do we apply this to our lives? How do we apply what Christ did at that scene on the Mount of Olives? How do we apply that to our lives? Anyone? Daniel? Jan?
C'est bien.
Storm, okay. Anyone else? Yeah? Explain that to me. Okay, but that's not what God's doing here. He is, but it's a different angle of His love, which is. It's not a nice message, I know, and I'm sorry for it, but it's biblical. I'm sorry for it, but it is biblical. Yes, God's love is what He gives us powerfully, massively. But part of His love is that we respond to His love and we are an extension of His love. So He gives you love to keep the love for yourself, hey, Mandy? He gives you love so that you can become an extension. An extension of God's love is without pain, hey? Ouch. Aina and amen. He gives us love so we can touch others with His love. But when you touch a prickly pear with the love of God, what happens to your fingers? You get a prick. And then we rather avoid Mr. and Mrs. Prickly Pear. And sometimes Mr. and Mrs. Prickly Pear is my spouse. Or my kids. What? No. Now it's up close and personal. Now we think of divorce. No. Thrust yourself as Christ did, into laying it down, into giving of your life. Let's look at Paul. Now, Paul is unfortunately the worst example of giving his life to God, meaning it's the best. Paul is superhuman. So Paul embraced suffering. And what's amazing is with every God-led sacrifice, obedience, one of you said obedience. With every God-led sacrifice and laying down of your rights and privileges, there is a God guaranteed. If you're obedient in extending the love of God that God's given you, and by giving that love, your hand gets chopped off and you get stabbed because you're giving love where it's not deserved. It's will not be returned to you. It's somebody that just cannot appreciate that love you're giving. When you do that and you're obedient to the Spirit of God, there's a God guaranteed, gewaarborgde, resurrection and life. Even though that guy takes 10 years, or even though this person might never be turned around, but there's somebody that has heard that, seen it, been around it, that will be touched by that laying down of your rights for that person. There will be fruit on that, because that's the power of death. There's always resurrection when it's in the Spirit of God. Always resurrection. So there is laying down of our rights and privilege. There is a God-guaranteed blessing and glory in the form of His resurrecting life coming to play. I want to read you some of Paul's crazy behavior and statements. And we love and respect because it's a word of God. Philippians 3, 10 to 4. It's not going to, just the reference is going to be there. It's too long to read with me. So I'm going to read this. I want to know Christ. This is what Paul says. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. So if you want to experience the power that raised Him from the dead, you have to do first before you can be raised. Do what? Die. Who wants to experience the power, the resurrection power of God? You must all be willing to die. There's no need to resurrect you if you're still alive. But there is a need, and God will step in supernaturally to resurrect you when you die. When you lay your life down for the extension, the kingdom, and laying down your life is giving love out. Because love makes you super vulnerable. It's impossible to give out love and not become vulnerable, because love per se is vulnerability. Would you agree with me? Can you protect your heart from all pain and give out love? No, don't lie to yourself. Love makes you vulnerable. Giving out love, touching others, makes you mark your quest bar. En as ek op my na die Here se voete toe moet hardloop en sê, Here, dit maak seer. Maak, raak my hart aan, gee my liefde, vergifnis waar vir iemand wat het nie verdien nie. Maar sodra jy dink iemand anders verdien het nie, dan moet jy sê, Here, ek weet ek verdien het ook nie. Ek kan nie, okay, so, he says this, in verse 12, this is Philippians 3, 10 to 14. Verse 12, he says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, that power of resurrection, he says, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. I want to press on. I want to thrust myself into laying my life down. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That's key, guys. If we keep going back to the past, to the disappointments, the pains, the rejections, the cruelty, the vulnerability caused by the love we gave and the pain that vulnerability gave us, if we keep looking to the past, we'll never be able to embrace the future that God has for us. You know what? It can even cost you your salvation. Because if you live in the past, it's impossible to forgive eventually. And God says, unless we forgive, He will not forgive us. It's very serious. As we forgive, so He forgives us. Because in God's reckoning, nothing that anybody can do to me can be as bad as I've done to Him as a perfect, holy God. And He forgives me. So as He willingly and lovingly forgives me, He says, now do likewise. Humanly speaking, is it possible? I'm too self-centered. I have revenge in my heart, quickly. Who of you struggle with revenge thoughts sometimes? Jy kan maar opsit, Dirk, ja, ek stem saam. So we have that. And then we come to God and we say, God, Here, I know, ek moet nie wil wraak neem nie. Jy moet hierdie wraaksigtigheid uit my uithaal, Here, want ek wil nie soos my oupa grootjie wees nie, of my ouma, of my grandfather, or my mother. I must want to turn the other cheek. Holy Spirit, unless you help me, my heart's going to mess me up and I want to take revenge. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press on to say, I release forgiveness. My mother used to have a saying, kill him with kindness. Kill that cruel person or that rude person, kill him with kindness. Now, my mom got all of our big mouth gifts times 10. She spoke before she thought. Nordine agreed with me. I mean, we are still minorly compared to my mom. And she's passed on. God bless her heart. And she's with Him today. So, go and get that prize that God has for you. Now, there's an amazing story, and with this we're coming to the final bit. Paul knowingly went into persecution and suffering. He thrust himself, as Christ, into knowing full well the pain that awaits him. And we find that in Acts 21, 10 to 14. You can put that up. Ah, oh, don't put it up, just that, yeah. Several days later, a man named Agabus, in Acts, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came to Paul, and my pants must just not fall off. He came to Paul and he took Paul's belt. And he bound Paul's feet. Kom bind my voete julle twee. And he bound gou-gou. And he bound Paul's feet. Can you all see my feet being bound? All right. He bound Paul's feet and hands. We don't have that. And then he said to Paul, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged, please, Paul, please, beg Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But he said, Paul said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. He says, I know what you say is true. When I go to Jerusalem, they are going to bind me. They're going to weep me. They're going to hurt me, but I want to do it. Who of you knowingly, willingly, are willing to go somewhere where you know they're going to hurt you and kill you? Raise your hand. Have our arms got lead in them? Come, you've been raising your arm. Now you're welcome to raise it. Now he's not raising it. He knows they're going to kill him. They're going to bind him. Who's willing? Yes, because I know it's the will of God. I know my death, my suffering is going to speak to people's hearts. And they're going to say, if this person is so committed to this cause, I must give this cause that he believes in my first priority. When somebody sees genuine faith, they're drawn to it. When they see genuine passion, they're drawn to it. You don't put people off. They're drawn to that powerful hunger, desire to serve something above their own comfort. When they see you willing to lay down your life against comfort and against what you believe, against what the rest of the world believe, they will follow you. People want to follow a worthwhile cause. Thank you. You can loosen it. Otherwise, I'm going to fall over. And then Paul said the following. But he said, why all this weeping? Paul says to him, why are you weeping? You're breaking my heart. Thank you. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Did you know the story? Who didn't know the story? Okay, so it's amazing. They warn him and he says, I'm going now. Let's do some application. I was going to share a testimony. Maybe I'll leave it. Yeah. Some areas we might have to lunge ourselves into suffering. So I'm going to give each one just alone time right now. And say, Lord, wat se area vir my ek, wat ek weet, of wat se persoon, wat se situasie vir my ek, which areas, what people am I choosing to avoid? Because I know it's going to cost pain. It's going to involve pain and laying down. It's going to involve laying down of my comfort. It's going to involve pain. Show it to me. And you actually want me to step into that. Each one, just ask the Lord on your own before I give examples. So I just want to mention four examples. God might be calling you to wash the feet literally. The feet of the most unthinkable person in our hearts. The person we dislike the most to show the love of Christ. Christ might be calling you to do that. Secondly, he might be challenging you to reach out to someone that really frustrates you. Iemand wat jou so verkeerd opwryf. Tyd maak met daai persoon wat jy eintlik glad nie van hou nie. Does that sound Christ-like? When something gets given to you to do that's gonna show people a kindness and a love and a consideration, but it goes totally against your nature, it's usually God, because it's unselfish. Would you agree with me? If something gets told to you and yes, it just suits what you desire, is that from God or from you? It's from me. Look, He does give you things that you desire. He does. But when it goes to showing His love and giving His patience and His kindness, it's going to cost us. So reaching out to somebody that really frustrates you, number two. Number three, to be honest, eerlik te wees oor iets wat jou gaan kos. It will cost you financially. It will cost you with acceptance. People will reject you if you're honest about this thing. You do it in love, never in accusation or judgmentalism, but you must maybe be honest with something. But this honesty is going to cost you either financially or it's going to cost you with going to cost you acceptance. This person's going to bat you. I had to do that some time ago with someone. The fourth possibility is giving something away that will really cost you much. You have to pay a big price. So we were blessed with a car last year. And the gentleman that gave us the cash for the car gave us quite a lot of money. Not only the car money, but also other money. And that couldn't have been easy. I think he had other ideas for that money. But he was obedient. And God used him to help us and to help the work of the ministry. So something God might be telling you to give something away that's going to cost you financially or even emotionally or whatever. It's going to be a big price to pay. So I'd like us all to stand up now, please. And I'd like us to turn our palms to the ceiling, to the roof, and to pray the following prayer after me. Only if you are willing. Don't pray this unless you're willing. So listen to what I say and then repeat it if you agree with it. And then say it aloud. You say it with purpose, as Christ purposefully gave himself to die on the cross. Intentionally. Lord Jesus, I can't do this in my own strength. Lord, I have to own the fact that I'm self-centered and selfish and insecure. But God, because you love me and because nothing can separate me from your faithfulness, your care, your love, I can do it when you enable me. I so want to please you. And I know my faith in you already pleases you. Help me to live out my faith. Help me to give the love, no matter how painful it is. The love you give me, let me give it out and be vulnerable. Holy Spirit, I need a fresh touch of your power, of your ability, in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lekker. God bless you, folk.